This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Brian Broaddus is sitting down with us now on the tennis courts in Oxnard, California. His continued training camp coverage brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, from grain to glass. Rangers player show coming up in 20 minutes. Josh Young's going to join us. It's time now. NFL news of the day. Here's Wolchuk.
Thank you very much. We had Sean McVay, who was mic'd up and did an interview with the broadcast crew. It was Mina Kimes, was part of the crew there for the Rams TV network. And boy, I mean, we got a little insight on just how exciting Sean McVay could be as a broadcaster. But he also, I mean, look, it's preseason here, but was he taking some shots at our guy Mike McCarthy?
Might have been.
This is a big play for us right here. Yep. Motion into empty. Oh, fourth and three. What the heck we got going here with Coach McCarthy? Big win by Corey Durden.
Oh, he got out of it.
Oh, don't let him escape. Come on. Oh, I'll tell you what.
Looks like he got it.
That's a heck of an effort by Lance. Corey Durden wins. Got a chance to be able to finish that. That was, I tell you what, that's a good competitive play.
Yep.
I mean, it's fourth and three, and Mike McCarthy goes empty. He's got three wide to the left, two wide to the right, and McVay's like, what are we doing here, Coach McCarthy? And then they break contain. Lance gets outside. He's able to pick up the first down, so it ends up working out for you. But I did love, he's about to swear there. He stops himself. But McVay, I think the next great that we will get in the booth, him and Jameis Winston. Those are the two I'm looking forward to. When their post-careers are done, when it comes to being in the NFL, I'm excited to hear them on the mic.
Yes, and I'd like to throw in Tyreek Hill on that as well.
Okay.
That is going to be amazing content, whatever he decides to do, if he decides to do something like that. But I don't think he was firing shots at McCarthy. I think he was just kind of asking, like, what do we have here?
What are we doing?
Yeah, I think he might have been, like, intrigued as a play designer himself.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough to get a full read. Like, is he being, like, is he, like,
I would never do this, like, what are you
never
doing?
Never seen something like this before in this situation. Or if it's like, wow, McCarthy, you're really kind of pulling out all the stops here in a preseason game. We're all just thinking on fourth and one, we're just going to go I formation and run it up the gut a little bit. So I don't know, but I do love listening.
He's
to him.
I'll tell you what, guys, I watched the broadcast. You know, that was the feed that I had.
Oh, okay.
They go to that twice. Like, there were probably like 4 or 5 minutes where he's actually on the sidelines talking, as you just heard. And then they go back and do it again. So, like, later in the game, they bring him back in the second half.
That's
so,
awesome.
Yeah, he had some really, really good one-liners. And, you know, but they've got to do a better job with the booth of asking him a bunch of questions, you know, as he's kind of going along. They just kind of let him go, which I think is, you know, maybe it's okay, but he could be really entertaining. He wasn't the two times. That was just a part of what he was doing, but I thought he was pretty entertaining during the game.
Yeah, man, he is. I mean, he's a ball of energy, and I mean, his knowledge when it comes to memory. I mean, he sat down and done many interviews where it's like 10 years ago, can you tell us about this play? And he's got it. Boom. Exactly. Down in distance, what the play call was. It's crazy, his recall. Now, Martavis Bryant, who was with the Cowboys last year, former Steelers receiver, hasn't actually played in 6 seasons after a long journey through football's minor leagues, came back into the NFL with the Cowboys. He's now signed with the Commandos. So Washington has themselves a 6'4" new wide receiver to add as a camp body. I don't know. I mean, Brian, did you ever get word? We got asked all last year, like, Martavis Bryant, what's going on? Things just didn't work out with the Cowboys?
No, it just didn't work out. But, you know, fortunately for him, his time at the Cowboys allowed him to get to the Commanders just because of the coaching staff. You know, those guys at the Commanders were all defensive coaches here. So I'm sure he ran scout team stuff and all that against them and said, hey, okay, well, wait a minute. Their front office is saying, hey, we need to bring a receiver in for some fresh legs. Well, hey, we got this Bryant kid. I mean, we saw him, you know, practice against us for, you know, 3/4 of the year. Let's give him a look. So, yeah, his work in Dallas got him another job.
Now, no doubt. Now, we got some injury news. This stuff's not good for Chase Claypool. I wonder if this is the end of his career.
That's an IR move right there, I believe.
Yeah, on IR with a toe injury from the Buffalo Bills. And this is a guy who was like maybe 1 foot into Canadian football and the CFL, and the Bills called him for a workout. They're like, yeah, I mean, we don't have a lot of receivers. Come on in here. Now he's been put on IR. I don't know the future of Chase Claypool in the NFL after this. But big news in Minnesota with their rookie quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. He is going to undergo surgery this week for a meniscus injury. Now, we'll see after the surgery how long he's expected to be out, but it appears Sam Darnold in line to start week one for Minnesota, and we'll have to monitor whenever they're able to get back J.J. McCarthy this year. Not a good start there with that injury to his career.
Yeah, that's tough, man. It's fascinating to watch these young quarterbacks, and I just feel like if you started getting hurt, the chances of you being successful go down very significantly.
Hollywood Brown with the Chiefs got hurt in their game in the preseason on Saturday. He's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a shoulder injury he suffered. Now, they're hoping that he's not going to miss too many games. Maybe he can come back for week three of the season. So, look, that was a big offseason addition. I thought that was going to be big for the Chiefs. He's been a fantastic player for the majority of his career there in Baltimore. Then was with his college teammate, Kyler Murray, with the Cardinals. And he gets to go with Patrick Mahomes. That could have been a lot of fun to watch. So, hopefully, Hollywood Brown comes back soon. Lions are dealing with some rookie injuries as well. Jahmyr Gibbs has a hammy. Their running back, Terrion Arnold, has an upper body injury. Duncanville's own Ennis Rakestraw Jr. at corner has an ankle injury. They all left practice yesterday, so hopefully nothing serious there for the Detroit Lions, who have Super Bowl aspirations coming into this year. And the Giants, their rookie running back, Tyrone Tracy, who was a fun study, Brian, converted wide receiver to running back.
Yep.
He was carted off in an air cast after a non-contact ankle injury. Going to undergo imaging to find out more of the severity of that. But, hey, Giants looking for life after Saquon Barkley. That could have been a guy that ends up getting into the mix. Now not sure when he's going to be available to play.
Yeah, that was some fun tape. You mentioned about the Purdue and then Iowa, his ability to catch the football outside. I mean, he seemed like he was going to have a really promising career and still could. But, you know, handing him the football, there was a little bit of some toughness, some explosiveness there. And even the routes and stuff that he was running, he runs routes down the field, you know, caught the ball pretty well. So it's a shame there for the Giants that kind of had an idea about a player that might really come in and fit into their, what they're trying to do. And unfortunately, he goes off in an air cast, which is never a good thing.
So we need another joint practice tomorrow, Cowboys-Rams.
Yes.
That's going to be a blast. Looking forward to hearing your feedback on that, Brian.
Yeah.
But we've had a lot of fights. Now, the Cowboys and Rams didn't get into one. Hopefully, they don't get into one tomorrow. But these joint practices have resulted in, I know the Giants and Lions had a bunch that went down. So the Patriots are getting ready. And here's head coach Jerod Mayo. Here's his philosophy if you're going to get in a fight.
You don't fight in a real game. You fight in a real game, you get fined, you get kicked out. It's the same thing here. And look, my message to the players, if you get in a fight out here, if you're a starter, you're going to play the whole preseason game. If you're not a starter, you won't play at all. And so that's kind of my mindset with that.
Oh, I like that. Tone. That's perfect punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was kind of a new age theory. That last offseason, I remember some coaches bringing this up. Like, okay, this is an interesting way to do it. And I would imagine that really hits home to the players more than anything. The last thing a veteran starter wants to do is have to play additional snaps in the preseason. And the last thing a guy who's trying to fight to make the team wants to do is miss actual playing time. So it seems like until someone tests you on this and then you have a starter that you're depending on go out there and get hurt in a preseason game and now you've bleeped your team.
Yeah, guys, but you've missed really the whole story here. The whole story is the Patriots were working against the Eagles and Elliott Shore Parks was like talking about a win. You know, he said that Nick Sirianni is, I believe he's got a winning record in these joint practices.
He's been charting them.
He did. I think he's 12-4, something like that. Elliott was on it, and I know that right now he's probably talking about, hey, if they're not going to fight, we're going to win. We're going to find a way to win this practice, and we will keep score. So just keep an eye on Elliott Shore Parks. he will let you know how exactly how the bird turds did against the Patriots in these practices.
Man, I hope they get their ass kicked. Let's go, Pats. Get your one win of the season.
I mean, he gives you stats. My man gives you stats on these. This is not a very good team they're working against today. Should get some victories here. We should win. And then he'll break down each individual. I might do it tomorrow against the Rams. I might just pull an Elliott short. Just say, hey, Dallas won this 1-on-1. Dallas won this 9-on-7. Dallas won this 7-on-7. You know, I might do that. Yeah, that might be a good idea.
He says,
their podcasts are better than ours, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I need to do more of that. Yeah.
He says Eagles won on both sides of the ball, forcing 2 turnovers on defense and
there
not
you
turnover
go.
On offense.
There you
Verdict,
go.
Eagles win.
There
Record
you go.
9-2 since 2021.
Yeah.
So I know. 2 in joint practice win loss.
Joint
record.
Practice. Man. 9-2. They've got a banner. They got a banner going up there soon. Yeah. Same company that's making the one for the Lakers.
Joint practice champs and Jalen Hurd's most consecutive passes without an interception in Eagles training camp history. That's another one he was charting out there.
Beat Ron Jaworski's record, though, you know, and then Roman Gabriel had it before that.
Roman Gabriel.
Shout out,
Roman
Jaws.
Gabriel.
Man, yeah, that's a tough one to beat. Now, Matt LaFleur, who I still claim looks like he's about to burst into tears at any moment, he was asked about the number one wide receiver in Green Bay and had this response.
I get like, I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. That's something that you guys talk about. I feel like we got a bunch of them. So, but I think they're all kind of, you know, I think the beauty of them is they're all capable of doing many things, which gives us a lot of versatility from an offensive perspective in terms of how we use these guys and deploy their talents.
It makes me want to vomit thinking about wide receiver one on my football team. But maybe they're trendsetters here. I don't know.
Does he sound like Kyle Shanahan?
Well, they are
buddies. Is that kind of a Kyle Shanahan sounding voice there? Am I wrong about that?
He sounded like a little dejected, a little down.
I get like, I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver.
Yeah.
They all have a little rasp in there. Like Mike McDaniel does too.
Yeah,
they do that.
I would check that office.
They do that vocal fry.
Yeah, yeah, well, absolutely. You know, yeah. I think so.
Makes me
that super blunt Sunday, man. We're getting it going. You guys want to get toxic on a Tuesday?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. That's what I'm prepping right now.
Let's go. I can't wait for this LA Live coming up at 4:40.
It might be political.
Okay. All right. There's a tease. There's a look ahead.
Catch that space last night.
I sure did.
So, Aaron Rodgers.
That's your dish.
Ian O'Connor wrote Aaron Rodgers' new bio that's out of the darkness, mystery of Aaron Rodgers.
Ian Connor.
He had a great, it's O'Connor, all right?
O'Connor.
And he had a great, great conversation with Sean and RJ this morning.
Yeah.
Highly recommend you check it out.
Go back and listen
8
to
o'clock
that.
This morning.
This is, and there's probably great things to read in this book, one of which has come out about Olivia Munn. Now, Olivia Munn, according to the book,
actress.
What chapter?
Olivia Munn is the actress.
Hollywood
that dated
star.
Aaron Rodgers several years ago, 2018 or so.
Haven't seen her in a movie. I think it was even 2014, 2015. I think it's been like
Aaron Rodgers got her blackballed.
She went Danica to Olivia Munn. And now, I guess, this is kind of what started the feud with Rodgers and his family 9 years ago. So Munn called Ed and Darla, Aaron Rodgers' dad and mom. Blindsided them with an angry rant about their plans to see Aaron again when the Packers played at Tampa Bay before Christmas. The actress made it clear that she did not want her boyfriend's parents meeting them or attending the game. Ed and Darla explained that they had been attending Aaron's game since he was a kid, and they didn't need her permission to continue to do so. Ed and Darla made the trip to the Tampa Bay game. They did not see their son. Aaron later sent an email to the family members that effectively said, "Don't attack the woman I love." They would not have another full conversation with Aaron Rodgers for at least another 9 years.
Oh, it's sad.
Wow.
Over this?
I mean, wives getting in between the son and the parents,
and this isn't even a wife.
The tale
is
old as time.
No question about it.
I mean,
no question about
sad.
It. Yeah, I mean, I know. I'm sure there's more context to this, her picking up the phone and having some level of attitude towards them. There had to have been something.
Yeah.
I know that they didn't approve of the way they were handling their relationship, their
the
son
sexy
Aaron Rodgers. Yes.
So Olivia Munn did an interview. She talked about how they do, have sexy time before games. and Aaron Rodgers' family being religious was not happy about that. They were like, how in the world, you're having premarital sex, we don't approve. But it's not like they decided we want to end our relationship. I guess this this was the one where Aaron decided, I'm siding with Olivia here. You guys can bleep off. But
that's a shame.
It you does butt out.
Yeah, butt out. Yeah. Get out of here. But according to this book, being mended, the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and his family. So I hope that everything...
That's awful. Awful small potatoes to have
right?
10-year absence from talking
talk
to your
to parents,
over
that.
Yeah. That's, I mean, you've been broken up for years, and you're just now like figuring, oh my goodness, we only have so many years left on this planet. Maybe I should reconnect with mom and dad.
It's the ayahuasca.
What a
man.
Jackass.
You just realized.
Must be the ayahuasca.
Now's the right time to go ahead and reconnect and rekindle our relationship.
That silent retreat he went on is finally doing its work.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Well, oh, you got more?
No, that's it. Let's
all
go.
Right.
Ball tripped his way back to mom and dad.
Sure did.
What a beautiful story.
Rangers player show, Josh Young. One of our absolute favorites. I think this is the third or fourth time we've interviewed him, and Josh Young's coming up next right here. It's the G-Back Nation on The Fan. Welcome back, G-Back Nation. On your home of the Cowboys, home of the Texas Rangers, it is time now for the Texas Rangers Player Show. It's brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. Everyone has beneficiaries, has life insurance. Globe Life, who's your beneficiary? Okay. This segment here brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Is joining us now, one of our favorites, the World Series champion third baseman, Josh Young, here in the G-Bag Nation. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
How are you guys doing? I'm doing good over here.
We are doing great, man. How is everything going since you got back from injury just a few short weeks ago? You're producing up there at the plate, good average. How are things going from your perspective?
I'm doing okay. You know, I'm just happy to be playing baseball again, getting my feet back underneath me. 4-month hiatus on the couch is never fun. So just getting back out there competing and getting back into the trenches with the guys.
What was that like, you know, as your guys are trying to defend the World Series title, you know, and it's been a struggle this year. What's that like on the couch as you're having to witness that?
Not fun, let me tell you. Never fun on the couch. And then when you feel helpless, like you can't help the guys out, then it's even worse. So staying home when the team's on the road, all that kind of stuff's just not fun.
Yeah, we can tell how serious you are about baseball, how competitive you are. Just how much does it bother you that you're not winning as much as last year, Josh?
I hate losing. I think that's one of my, probably the most things, one of the top things I hate is just losing in general, especially when I feel like I'm going up there and giving it bats away. That gets me in my gears even more. But yeah, I mean, we're struggling and, you know, teams go through that. You know, it's not going to be sunshine and rainbows all the time, but, we're doing everything we can over here. It's not a lack of effort. So hopefully we can turn this thing around here. We got, 2 months left? So, or I guess a little under 2 months now. Try to turn the ship.
Josh Young with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Now, we hear you're a baseball historian. We've talked with you about this a little bit, but playing at Fenway Park, what is that like as a kid who grew up loving baseball? I feel like that's got to be one of the venues that'll give you some goosebumps when you walk in.
Yeah, it's incredible. You walk out on the field, walk through the tunnels, and know that there's a lot of really, really good players that walked the same tunnels, the same ground, signed the monster, all those kind of things, and all the legends that come around the park too, like going up and sitting in that red chair in right center, and you're just like, there's no way a human being hit a baseball this far. you know, little things like that, and it's just, it's incredible. It really puts things into perspective too. Like, you know, there haven't been a ton of players playing the big leagues, and a lot of legends played here, and you're one of the guys that get the opportunity to do that. It kind of puts things in perspective and help you realize that you're in a unique position and just go out there and have some fun with it.
How many stadiums are like that these days? Is there just two?
Well, I haven't been to all of them, but here, Wrigley for sure is another one. I mean, our stadium's pretty much brand new. It's 4 years old, so it doesn't have as much history, but I mean, even Yankee Stadium, you know, he's got all the plaques out in center field, and there's just so much history with that franchise in general. All the stories you hear there. So, I mean, everywhere you go around the league, it's like somebody has played there during some time period, and it's really cool to keep all that in perspective.
Which fan base gives you the business the most, like that you hear when you're at the plate or whatever? Is it the Red Sox fans that are just always screaming at you?
I would say that's every fan base, truly.
Okay.
I mean, the Red Sox get after you. My favorite atmosphere still is Baltimore last year in the playoffs. That was a lot of fun. Super loud. I think they had, 54,000 people getting after it, booing you. It was a lot of fun.
I bet they went silent when you made that stab for the double play, though.
Quiet for a second, and that's gorgeous. What the Red team does, right? Go in there and try to silence the crowd as quick as possible and get comfortable.
Hey, so tell us what it's like down in the clubhouse at Fenway, because it is so old. Did they upgrade it all so it's all luxury, or is it like you're stepping back in time? What's that like down there?
I would say it's luxury compared to what it was, I'm sure.
they remodeled recently?
That's a great question. I haven't actually asked. It's obviously not as big as our home clubhouse back in Texas. I don't think there's any of them that are that size. Like they say, everything's bigger in Texas, but it's a cool clubhouse. Again, it's who's sat in this clubhouse, who's walked down this same hallway, you know, all those kind of things run through your head, and it's still pretty cool.
Who's your favorite Red Sox player of all time?
It's hard to beat Ted Williams, one of the best hitters to ever play the game. But then thinking about, you know, more recently, you got Pedroia, really good second baseman, Ortiz, Manny Ramirez hitting big homers. You could run down the list. In my head, it's like Carlton Fisk waving that ball fair. Third baseman-wise, I'd say probably Boggs. It's a pretty good one.
So how much of a baseball historian are you? Can you do this with a lot of teams or most teams?
Ooh. I would have to go refresh my memory on some stuff. When I was younger is when I was really diving into the Hall of Fame and the history of the game. Now it's so locked in on my own career, especially being through rehab and constantly trying to find my footing. It's more so myself. But, yeah, I need to start getting back into the research and really putting that perspective back into my head.
So when you think about like some of the game's all-time great pitchers, if you could face off against one and go yard, hit a dong ball off of them, do you have a pitcher in mind that you'd love to face?
Man, I'm going to go with a Red Sox pitcher. Definitely Pedro. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Pedro would be a blast.
How dominant he was throughout his career. I think it'd be pretty cool to put the boys up 1-0 or – you know, maybe a grand slam and a 3-2 count in the seventh or something. He's trying to extend the game.
That'd be sick.
Knock him out right there. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be. Josh Young with us here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we missed you. I mean, it's great to see you back there at third base, but Smitty was pretty damn good in your absence. What was it like for you watching and rooting on Josh Smith?
Just cheer him on, man. He's been a role player for us the last 2 years, and he stepped up in a big way, especially with me going down. He filled that role and exceeded, I think, any expectations that were put on him. And I think truly it was just us seeing the real Josh Smith, the player that gets to play every day, the guy that's consistent and just a really talented ball player. And it was awesome to see, truly.
Post-championship, how much more recognized are you now when you're out and about enjoying some time perhaps in Arlington or in the Metroplex here? Everybody's yelling out at the Jungle Cat or what? I would be.
I wouldn't say as much. You know, I got the Texas Tech fan base in Dallas too. So I'd get recognized every once in a while. It's not as often as you think. I try to keep a low profile as much as possible. But when I do, it's always appreciated. It's always love. You know, we did something really cool last year, and be able to celebrate that with all the fans and all the people of Dallas is pretty special.
Now, I know you are you're a Spurs fan. Do I have this correct?
You know what? I grew up a Spurs fan. My grandma was a big Spurs fan, but I think I'm converted over to the Mavericks now.
Let's go!
Hey, congratulations. Welcome to the good side, man. I was going to ask if you were actually secretly kind of rooting for France and Wemby in the gold versus your own country because you have such Spurs alliances, but you've already punted on them and you're a Mav. Well, welcome to the squad, dude.
I mean, Luka, now we got Klay now, too. We've had Kyrie the last 2 years. I think got some pretty good players coming through there and been able to catch a couple games. It's a super awesome atmosphere.
I love it. We're dropping the we. Like, I mean, it's we and the Mavs real. And Josh Young now. This is. I mean, you're locked in. Speaking of the Olympics, would you like to participate for Team USA if big leaguers are given that opportunity? Is that something you would dream of doing?
You know, to wear the USA on your chest would just be an honor in general. I just don't know if I could miss 3 weeks of the regular season with, you know, the guys that I play with all year just to represent the country. I know it would be a super cool honor. And you have another opportunity in the World Baseball Classic, but, you know, when you're trying to win championships and win divisions and that kind of stuff, you can't really have like a 3 to 4 week hiatus. So I wouldn't necessarily like doing that. I think I'd have some regret doing that, even though it was to play for the country, just because I'd want to play with my dudes and be in the trenches with them all year.
What if we could start the season like 10 days early and end it in the World Series 10 days later and just take a break in the middle of the summer like they do for soccer in the World Cup or something?
I think that would be a completely different story, truly.
Yeah.
I think there'd be a lot of guys willing to go play. But at the same time, I know how you get to that All-Star break, and a lot of guys are looking for that four-day downtime. Sure. So I think it would give some guys opportunities to go play for Team USA that necessarily wouldn't because of all the superstars we have in our game. But I think if that were the case, then I would have a hard time saying no to wearing the USA logo.
How was the White House last week?
It was awesome, man. You know, I like the history of baseball that we've talked about already, so just the history in general, walking through those rooms and thinking, you know, who's been in these rooms, what decisions were made in these rooms, and we didn't get to see the whole thing, you know, because they keep that under wraps pretty much, but the little wing we were in, just to have those thoughts and just kind of think about some of the stuff our country's gone through and be like, man, I wonder if those decisions were made in this room. That's all pretty cool.
The hospitality was strong. Did they feed you guys? I hear the bathrooms in there are like 10 out of 10, even better than Bucky's.
The one bathroom I went into was a small little bathroom, so I don't know. Bucky's is massive. But no, they didn't feed us. We had our meal on the train afterwards on the way up to New York.
Oh, eating on the train. Okay. So team provides, generally you're out on the road, team's providing the meals, or do you get to just go peruse the town and just kind of eat whatever you want, eat some local cuisine?
The team provides, but you can go out on your own if you would like and get whatever you want.
So when you go to Bucky's, what's your go-to there? Because I can't go to Bucky's and not get a brisket sando.
Yeah, normally it's a brisket sandwich, and normally it's a kolache.
Ooh, are you on chopped or sliced?
On the brisket, I'm going chopped.
Yes!
Last year, your rookie status had you like pouring cocktails and stuff, bartender style, on the team planes. What are you doing for this year's rookie class? Are they doing anything for you now?
No, I'm not going to put anything on them like that. You know, I was going to still be the bartender, but then I had a four-month hiatus and just haven't done it yet. Maybe that's what the boys are missing. Maybe that's the camaraderie we need, so I need to go find some tequila and some mix and start making those margaritas again.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you kidding me? It seems like there's a glaring hole there. I thought somebody would fill that void for you. I thought perhaps maybe you got Wally Pipped and somebody out bartendered you this year, but nobody's filling that void. You got to get back in the saddle.
Yeah, there's no Wally Pipped here with the bartender skills. I topped the team in that one. So. Yeah, I'm going to have to wear that one. I'm going to have to go find a store here pretty quick.
Yeah. All right. Before we let you go, I do have some sound here that I want to play for you. This is some analysis of one of your current teammates with the Rangers, and I would love for you to guess which current Ranger teammate is being analyzed here, okay?
All righty.
All right, here's the clip.
You know, what he's got working there between the knee and the waist is pretty impressive.
That's the clip. That's it.
That's the clip.
That's it. We can hear it again. If you need to hear it again, we'd be happy to play
for
you.
Oh, no, I heard it.
Okay, very good.
Trying to think about this in baseball terms. And between the knee and the waist.
Super impressive.
Oh, man, my mind's running a million different directions with this one. I'm going to just go Evaldi. Who are we talking about?
Evaldi! Ooh, I like the guess for Evaldi.
First one for Evaldi.
That's a nice notch on the belt of Nasty Nate. Unfortunately, it's a swing and a miss by you, Josh, but I appreciate how well thought out that was. And we're going to keep that in our back pocket, and we'll have you play that game with us the next time.
Yeah, go start mixing some drinks.
I will.
Thanks, Josh. Give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Shot something today and get the boys going.
Let's get a shot. Yeah, there we go.
There it is.
It's play a little looser.
In Boston, to be very apropos. There he goes, Josh Young, Rangers third baseman, a World Series champion. Brought to you by Globe Life. Everyone has beneficiaries. Not everyone has life insurance. Globe Life, who's your beneficiary? And by Golden Chick. And salute to Josh Young for joining us. Brian, you with us out there?
I am with you guys. And we're also going to give him a $100 gift certificate from Pluckers. We got 8 of those DFW locations, so he can get him some wings as he's mixing cocktails for everybody.
Hadn't heard Nasty Nate's name yet.
No.
We'd heard a lot of Kisner, right?
Yeah.
Adolis.
Good to hear one of my Italian brothers making an appearance here.
That's right. Okay, when we come back, it is time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here. Brian, what's in store?
Yeah, there's some more work from the film that I want to talk about next, and we'll do that.
Thank you, Lucius. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we have a sports hodgepodge, but it's time for The Corner right now, brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here, and here's Broadus.
Hey, thanks a lot, General. Appreciate that. And thanks to Dallas College as well for hanging out with us. Hey, Chief, I think I got some good information for us for our pregame show.
Ooh.
Soon this year. My agent, you know I have an agent, right? You know I have an agent.
Yeah.
Don Yee. Yeah, Don Yee was out here today. He represents Mike McCarthy.
Oh, what's up, Don? Well.
Okay, so Don's out here hanging out. Chief, I told him about our pregame show and how we never seem to get, like we never get Tony Romo. Or we never get Troy Aikman. He's telling me, he's like, listen, I'll talk to Tom. I'll get Tom on your pregame show for you.
Oh, let's go.
So, hey, I'm hopeful. I'm like, listen, Don, he goes, well, man, you can help him with the Cowboys and you can, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'd be happy to do anything, to help Tom. I'm happy to do that. But I go, we never get guys on. We try. I mean, we've had Kevin Burkhart and, and Olsen and, we get good guests. We really do. Get great guests.
We're just nobody.
But he goes, well, let me work on Tom for you. He goes, Tom's got a lot of your games. So I'm thinking all right, well, maybe this one time, Chief, you and I get to go for the whale.
Wow.
And a little pregame talk with Tom Brady before one of these games.
That would be the most incredible thing that could ever happen, dude. I'm a little bit nervous just thinking about it right now, but
you know, we could build a rapport.
You're right. I mean, he's got so many Cowboys games this season.
Exactly.
By the end of the year, he'll be sending us a Christmas card.
Yeah, exactly. We're just regulars.
Yeah, we could Burkhart especially. Holy geez. I mean, he was like, I think we had him 3 weeks in a row that he came on. But, yeah, hopefully for our pregame show, Dallas Cowboys pregame show this year, we might have the GOAT himself, Tom Brady, on. So stay tuned for that. So excited to kind of hear how that was all going to work out. All right. You guys mind if I go through? I didn't get through all my film guys yesterday. When we were kind of talking about players that I felt like played pretty well in the game. I know we just got through kind of a couple of them, and that's my fault because I talk too much. But if you don't mind, I'd like to get through a couple of guys, and maybe we can chop it up a little bit. You guys good?
Sounds good to me.
Good.
All right. I want to talk about Maris Leafau, if I can, first. And I want to talk about Leafau in a way that when you watch him practice, you do see the instincts, you do see the ability to read what's going on in front of him and play downhill, make tackles, make plays. He needs to play more because in this game, he didn't play that way. He really didn't. And I'm not saying this in a disrespect to the young man. I'm just saying that he was in one of those modes where first game, I felt like he was guessing a little bit with the fits. There were some runs that the Rams were able to pull off, and it wasn't so much about what was going on at defensive tackle. it was what was going on with the linebackers. Him and Willie Harvey, a couple of different times on some of the runs that the Rams had, the bigger runs, they didn't fit very well. And I felt like that they were guessing on the play, mm-hmm. that they were trying to maybe jump a gap and say, okay, this is – when you watch the first group, when you watched Overshown and then you also watched Clark, you saw guys, you know, Mozzie, those guys, Davis, those guys did a really good job of kind of squaring things up inside. And then those linebackers were able to run and make plays. There were some squared up defensive linemen for these young linebackers, and they just didn't do a very good job of playing how they needed to play. They needed to read the scheme a little better. They got fooled a couple of different times, and you saw the Rams be able to have some runs. So Maris Leofeld, he does not need to sit over there with me only playing like 10, 12 plays. He needs to go and play and get work and get reps. And I think that maybe the next time out, he'll be a little bit better. Tomorrow we've got a scrimmage against the Rams here. Yeah. I'm interested to see how that goes. But he's been practicing pretty well for you, but needs to play. That was that surprised me a little bit of how he was off his game, because that's not his game. His game is seeing it, reading it, and then going and making plays. But I mentioned to him and Willie Harvey probably weren't at the best of what they needed to be.
Yeah, I mean, speed of the game factor, first game in, I could totally understand
that. I don't think it was speed of the game. I think his eyes failed him in this one. I think it was the eyes. Like when he had a chance, like if there was down blocks, you know, he's got to step up. He's got you could see like with Overshown and Clark and those guys, when they read blocks, they were attacking. They were attacking the gap. They were attacking the hole. And these guys, instead of attacking, it was like they didn't really trust what they were seeing. And they were guessing, and they guessed wrong on a couple of them, and it made them look pretty bad. But I think he needs to play a lot more. This was an interesting game for, and I'll just come through this quick, Golston and Fehoko. Both have been playing defensive tackles. Both have been playing as three techniques. What's happened with them now is they had to play, because this game, play a little bit more on the edge. They looked better playing on the edge than they did playing at defensive tackle in these practices. So keep an eye on maybe that goal. Maybe they're trying to kind of figure some things out with the defensive tackles, but that they could use Golston and maybe even Fehoko, because Fehoko hasn't shown anything. But in that game, he actually showed playing in space, playing him on the edge. He was a little bit more comfortable than having to deal with the blocks, those down blocks, guards, centers, stuff like that, that he's been having to deal with. Okay, Carson, the corner. We mentioned that that they were 6-for-6 on targets against Carson in this game. His early three reps or three passes that were thrown against him didn't even look like the same player that we've seen out here at practice. Again, here's a rookie guy. You know, he looked tentative. He didn't look like that he was really sure about what he needed to do. And then they threw a ball out there. It was the third one they threw in front of him, and he drove on the ball and made a tackle for a no gain or a short gain. From that point on, he was more engaged. He was more physical. He was doing a better job of carrying routes. When he was asked to drive on the ball, he was able to do that. Be able to like pedal, to break, to stay engaged and all that. So his early part of the game was not very good. But where he got better is once he made that play where he stepped up and made that tackle, it kind of got it. Something clicked with him. Much better player. Even though they were, like I said, they were 6-for-6, but he was competitive to where he was close to knocking down balls, making plays on it, instead of giving up space like he did earlier in the first two. So it was good to see him have a little bit better game after the first couple of plays. Cooper Beebe in this game.
Yes, sir.
Cooper Beebe played really, really well. Now, he had one bust that I felt like, I need to ask the coaches on this, but there was a chance where he had to block back, and he didn't. He, you know, that when they were trying to pull, and he was trying to replace the guard on the pull. His responsibility then is to block back. Everybody blocks down, and then they get the puller around. When you watch how it went, Earl Bostic was the tackle to his side. Bostic gives a check, like a hand check, to the defensive tackle, for the Rams. But instead of like, you know, knocking him down tighter to him, you know, the handshake went for naught because BB's got to block back. But other than that, felt like the one-on-one stuff was really good. The help stuff was really good. He did have a rep, though, where they twist stunt, and he's got to have a little bit better feel for the stunt. He was got over late, kind of got a hand on the twister, but he was for the majority of this game, his positioning was really good. His footwork was good. His power was good. The second level stuff didn't show a whole lot of that with the way, because of really a lack of the running game. But that, like I say, the one thing was the block back was not good. That was a fault that ended up being a negative play. And then the late twist that he's got to be able to adjust. As a center, you got to keep your head on that swivel. And then when you feel the twister coming the other way, you got to be able to slide over there. He saw it late, got over late. You know, fortunately for Trey Lance, he was able to get rid of the football. But if Lance would have held that ball just a little bit, just a tick longer, that could have been a problem there, and maybe even a sack. So overall, playing center, played some guard, looked good at guard, kind of came off the ball a little bit later at guard, than with center a little bit, you know, because he's handling the snap. He was late a couple of different ticks. But overall, I felt like that his play was pretty solid for his first time out.
Well, that's awesome. Do you feel like this could be a moment where they switch spots? Like, is BB gaining on him now?
I think that, to me, this is where Hoffman was not terrible, but Hoffman wasn't as good as BB was in this game.
Let's
see if the coaches see it the same way here. But I did like what BB – I like the power that he was able to show
it's
in this
different.
Game. It is different. They do get some push with him. You know, with him working with the guards or him working one-on-one, they do get some push with him in that running game. I'd love to see this game them come out and run. You know, having Trey Lance throw the ball 40 times, I get it. You're trying to kind of get an idea. They need to work some with this young running game. They need to figure this thing out. And do they have some guys or do they have some schemes that can kind of get it going? If Lance throws the ball 20, 25 times in this game, cool. But throwing the ball 40 times in this game, I think that was a little bit of a problem for him.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. It's brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here. A sports hodgepodge will begin when we get back, Chief. Where are we going with it?
The NFL quarterback that is best at this very important skill, plus a gold bond backfire for the ages, next in the nation.